Hello, and welcome back for another affiliate-focused branch of the UF Care Podcast. These are conversations with early career professionals studying addiction research here at the University of Florida. We also try to provide advice and support for those entering the field. My name is Victor. I'm a second-year graduate student here in the Department of Clinical Health Psychology, working with Dr. Jeffrey Boisenow. And today we're joined by, I'll let you introduce yourself.
Hi, my name is Peter Hamor. I'm a fifth-year graduate student in the Department of Psychology in the Behavioral and Cognitive Neuroscience program, and I work in Dr. Marek Schwen's lab, where we look at relapse, mainly to cocaine, but we are also looking at other drugs, and we are also looking at some cognitive aspects of addiction.
That's excellent. So you're focusing more on cocaine in this regard. Is there a particular aspect of cocaine that's interesting on the molecular level that you're looking at?
So my specialization is on metabotropic glutamate receptor 5, which is a subtype of glutamatergic receptors in the brain, which are involved in addiction in both humans and animals.
For those of us listening who don't exactly know what metabotropic glutamate receptors are, you're out there, you know who you are. Peter, could you please explain a little bit as to what that is and why it's important?
Sure. So many people, when talking about addiction, know about dopamine and how important dopamine is in reward, on immediate reward. Fewer people are familiar with glutamate, but glutamate is a very important neurotransmitter, mainly in relapse. And therefore, glutamatergic receptors, which are proteins mainly on the surface of the cell of neurons, which transduct some signaling important for not only cellular activity, but also tissue activity. And metabotropic glutamate receptor 5 is one of these receptors that transducts signaling from the glutamate that's being released mainly during relapse.
What about relapse impacts the signaling of this receptor?
So there are multiple brain regions that have increased glutamate release during relapse. And we assume that activity of metabotropic glutamate receptors in these regions plays a crucial role in relapse, basically.
Is this like a molecular, like the presence or abundance of addiction? For example, I think opioid receptors, you develop more of them, and so relapse is more difficult because the brain is expecting more of these receptors to be satisfied. Is it something like that?
So it's very specific for the type of metabotropic glutamate receptor and for the drug and for the method of drug administration and the length of administration. So that's one of the more complicated things about mGlu5. Is that depending on what the drug and how long have you been taking it, its amount is different in different parts of the brain. Mm-hmm. So it's not as simple as maybe with some other receptors. Mm-hmm. So it's slightly more complicated, and it depends on many factors.
Sure. Okay, so why is the research into this receptor, as complicated as it is, important? What can you learn about the receptor that can better our understanding of addiction and relapse?
So I think the main thing to know about it is that its inhibition, just general inhibition in the brain, leads to lower relapse in animals. So the research that started with it basically showed that if you just administer an inhibitor of this mGlu5 receptor, the animals will take less cocaine and they will also relapse less. So people started looking at it as a potential target for humans as a way to lower relapse in humans. However, now, and our lab showed it too recently, also activation of this receptor can lower relapse in animals. So there's something happening with expression of this receptor after drug taking that influences how its inhibition or activation or what it does to relapse, and we're still not sure. And so far, human research has not been, there hasn't been done much research on this receptor in humans, because even though inhibition of the receptor kind of makes animals take less drug. There are some cognitive impairments connected to inhibition of mGlu5 because it's also very important for memory formation and retention.
But you also said activation of the receptor can result in
better outcomes
as well.
Yes, and that's what we kind of think right now, is that because activation of the receptor improves memory and memory formation, it's possible that extinction phenomena that happen during extinction trainings are enhanced when we activate this receptor. So basically animals learn how to not take the drug during the extinction trainings. But we don't know. That's just an assumption right now.
Right. That's the research that's going on.
But it's interesting. It's interesting to see activation and inhibition systemically improve relapse.
Right. It's odd. I wonder how many other aspects of the brain you can stop, but also increase to have the same kind of outcome there. As long as you're doing something with these receptors, you'll see an impact on relapse.
Yes. Hmm. So my current research is basically looking at the different brain regions and expression of mGlu5.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing something called a FOS mapping. FOS is a protein that reacts very fast to neuronal activation. So if you see increase in FOS expression in the brain, you can assume that part of the brain or those neurons were activated, or at least more active. So my current research is looking at populations of cells that express mGlu5 receptor and their activation during after prolonged abstinence to cocaine. So that should shed a little bit more light to how is mGlu5 needed in the cell populations that are recruited during abstinence.
Are you doing this in vivo with rats, or are you doing this in vitro?
So I'm doing it in rats. There's a phenomenon called incubated cocaine craving, which is the main part of it. It's an interesting thing where the craving to drug taking increases over time with abstinence. So when you are first day of abstinence, you usually crave the drug less than when you are a month or two after abstinence, and it's at least with cocaine, it's around 2 months for animals, but we see it in people too, and we see it with different drugs as well. And what's important to know is that because of this incubation, the chance of relapse is increasing in time. And it's an inverted U-shaped curve. So first we crave not much, then it increases in time, and then after some time it goes back to normal again.
Right, it peaks and then returns.
But that peak is very important to target, and that there's a window during that peak where you have the highest chance to relapse. And many people think that's the most important window that we have to target when we try to figure out intervention for relapse.
Right. If you're doing an intervention that, you know, is the first 2 or 3 weeks after quitting, but that peak doesn't happen until week 4, then you completely miss that target.
Yep.
That's fascinating. Peter, how did you find your way to this research?
So that was mostly random in my case.
Okay.
My bachelor's in biology.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was doing my bachelor's degree, I was in molecular biology lab. So I was making viruses.
Mm-hmm.
And then for my master's, specialization is cellular and developmental biology. So I was working in a lab that was looking at embryonic hearts of mice, and we were doing heart electrophysiology. But I always wanted to go to neuroscience. Neuroscience was my preferred field. But when I was deciding for my master's, there were no positions in any neuro field that I wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
So when I finished my master's, I got a contact to Dr. Schwendt from my previous mentor who had worked with him in America. So we got in contact with Dr. Schwendt and we talked a lot, and then we decided that I should go to him.
Mm-hmm. Where did you do your bachelor's and master's?
So both my bachelor's and master's was done in Prague, in Charles University, at the natural sciences faculty.
Okay. But you mentioned you're not from Prague originally. You're from Slovakia?
No, I'm from Slovakia. Mm-hmm. Prague is in Czech Republic. Mm-hmm. Thankfully, even though we are two separate countries, the Czech Republic allows Slovak students to study for free, as well as their own students. So mm-hmm. I was able to get pretty good education for free.
Well, that's wonderful. Mm-hmm. That's a pretty good deal. How was the transition from Slovakia and the Czech Republic to the United States over here?
It was not so bad. You always have a cultural shock. I'm slightly used to it. We used to travel a lot when I was younger, mm-hmm. and with my parents. And I was an international student when I was 16. I went to Thailand to study for a year in high school. So I was slightly used to cultural shocks. And so the transition was not that bad. It's always difficult to find new people that you can spend your time with. Mm-hmm. I was lucky enough that my classmates became my good friends here. And I think that helped a lot. We were all new in the program, so we were a good group. Mm-hmm. I hope more students will come to the program too. We're slightly growing, so that's a good thing.
How many students are in the program?
Ooh, I don't know. I cannot tell you the number, but I okay. know that Dr. Schwen now has 3 students, so which is pretty good because we are not the largest lab.
Sure. Well, excellent. I don't know if we touched on what your dissertation is and was.
No, but it's very close to what I was talking about. So my dissertation is basically on Nglu5 receptors.
Okay.
My dissertation is basically composed of 3 bigger parts. It's not the one large project, it's 3 smaller ones. And it's because the first project I started working on here was very pharmacology behavior kind of a study. So as I touched on Nglu5 receptors, they have a protein binding partner called adenosine 2 receptor. And there has been research showing that activation of A2A receptor helps with cognition. So our idea was to inhibit Nglu5 receptor and activate A2A receptor at the same time and see if we can extract the good things from Nglu5 receptor inhibition while we would not have the side effects of Nglu5 inhibition on cognition, which often affects working memory and memory formation. So we tried it. We had 2 drugs, one that inhibits Nglu5, one that activates A2A, and then we did a pharmacological study where we were injecting animals, different doses, and with different combinations. And surprisingly, we found that it didn't help at all.
Oh.
the final result of the study is that the combination really doesn't help in any way, and it even worsens relapse.
Really?
So we were hoping that targeting this dimer of receptors will target like this specific population of Nglu5 in the striatum, which we hoped was like these receptors in striatum will affect relapse the most. So even though we were probably very specific, the combination just didn't help, which just shows how research can be interesting, where you just combine one thing that works with another thing that works and you hope it will work and it just worsens everything.
Sure. It's, as you were saying before, it's complicated. It's dynamic. It's unintuitive at times, but now that you've done the research, at least we know that combo isn't going to work.
Yes. That's all my presentations were like, we found negative results, but there are still results. So it's still important.
Yes, exactly.
And it got published. So someone thinks it's important too. Mm-hmm. So that was my first part. And then I'm more molecular. My background is in molecular biology. So I always wanted to do a bit more molecular stuff. So my second project was a proteomic study. over one specific region in the brain called the central nucleus of amygdala, which seems to be a key player in incubated cocaine craving and probably in drug craving in general. So no one before looked at the protein expression patterns in central amygdala. So we wanted to do that. And so we did a very broad proteomic analysis. We wanted to look at different proteins being expressed that are different after the prolonged abstinence. And we found some interesting things, slightly tied to mGlu5, but mostly to dopaminergic system. But it was just a very clean molecular study. And now I'm working on my last third part of my dissertation, and that's the FOSS mapping study. So I'm looking at different brain regions, and I'm looking at different neuronal activity in different brain regions, and looking what is unique to incubated craving, so which regions could be targeted in the future, and also at cell populations that are active during this time of incubated craving.
Is that done through magnetic resonance imaging scans to look at regions that are activated during the craving? Is this more pharmacokinetics?
No. So the advantage of FOSS is that it stays expressed for a while. So if you plan your experiments correctly, you can basically look at So when you look at FOSS, you can look at when the cells were expressed in time in past. So the FOSS stays expressed in cells for a while. So when you kill the animal and you look at the FOSS expression, it's basically a print of what has happened some time ago.
Okay.
You have to be quick. It stays not for long. But in our case, we do the reinstatement test, which takes 45 minutes. We sacrifice the animals afterwards, and then we can look at the expression of FOSS protein, or in our case of messenger RNA, and we see which parts of the brain were activated during those 45 minutes before the sacrifice. Mm-hmm. So it's a very gentle time travel back.
Right. This 45 minute window to make this assessment.
Yes.
Okay. This is more than I've ever heard or thought about metabotropic receptors in the brain. So this is really fascinating to me. What are the parts of this research that are the most exciting to you?
To me, it's probably the amount of intervention that will be possible because of these. So many people know of ionotropic receptors, which are the reasons why we have action potentials in brains. Mm-hmm. And they're very fast acting, and that's basically why neurons work the way they do. But because of how important they are, we cannot manipulate them without a lot of side effects. So metabotropic glutamate receptor, because they're slower, they don't directly involve action potentials, but they more modulate the effect or the activity of the cells. There are better targets for manipulation, which results in fewer side effects. Mm-hmm. So pharmacologically, there's a high chance that the therapies that will be in the future that will be pharmacological and that will be receptor based will probably be on receptors that are metabotropic or similar to them. So for me, the interesting part is the intervention, because that's the final goal that we have in addiction research, is to help people stop being addicted or stop relapsing. Mm-hmm. And this seems like a very promising way.
Absolutely. It sounds cutting edge, Peter. Like you're learning the things and finding the information that will help develop these interventions for people years from now, a decade or two or sooner or later, depending, but it's part of that process. And I think that's really excellent.
Yeah. Hopefully. It will mm-hmm. help.
So taking a step back, looking maybe back at your own past, what is a piece of advice that you have now with, you said, 5 years of experience in graduate school in this program? What would you tell someone at the beginning of their journey to help them along?
I think the main important thing is to find something that you really enjoyed reading about, because the main portion of all PhD and probably all research is reading. Mm-hmm. So if you are in a field of research that you really don't enjoy reading hundreds of pages about, then you will probably not have the best time. But I also think very important thing to think about is your mental health. There has been, in my surroundings, there's been a lot of issues with mental health, and I think it's important to assess situation before it turns bad, because having mental issues that are unresolved during your PhD studies is just worsening everything. So many people may not realize that it's a difficult route to take. Mm-hmm. And it's important to take care of yourself so that you can do the best you can, because you are doing research, you're finding new things. And unless you're working as close to 100% as you can, then your research will not be close to 100%. Mm-hmm.
We're doing this research to help other people, but in the process, we shouldn't be sacrificing ourselves.
Yes.
Right. That's an important lesson. So Peter, what's next?
I'm hopefully finishing this winter. I just received some awards and some fellowships so I can prolong my stay here. I was supposed to finish this summer, mm-hmm. but the project I'm doing now is taking slightly longer. So I was fortunate enough to have some awards from CARE as well. So I'm very thankful for CARE, because thanks to them, I can stay here for half a year more.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And so I'm planning to finish my current research this winter, finish my dissertation. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking for postdoc positions in academia mm-hmm. at the moment. I'm considering industry as well, but so far I'm more inclined to the academia.
All right. Well, if anyone out there is looking for an excellent molecular neuropsychopharmacologist.
It's me.
He's right here. He's ready. Or he will be in just about 6 months. That's terribly exciting, Peter.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Do you have any questions or anything else that you'd like to add to this conversation today before we wrap things up?
No, but I want to thank you very much for inviting me. And I want to thank CARE very much, because during the past 5 years, most of the opportunities that I've had was through CARE. So I really appreciate that we have something like the Center for Addiction Research and Education here that connects all of us, because there's many people doing addiction at the UF, and we're all connected basically only thanks to CARE. So I think it's very important then that this happened, and I'm very thankful for it.
Absolutely, Peter. As part of that, we also want to thank Dr. Oliver Grunman, Dr. Sarah Jo Nixon, Dr. Joanne Paris, and all of our mentors and future collaborators for all these opportunities that they give us, for helping support this podcast and these excellent conversations that I am extremely grateful for. With that said, thank you all for listening. Feel free to reach out to Peter if you have any job opportunities. And we'll catch you next time. Bye.